Hi, everyone. We are back from our little break. So during this break, I celebrated my 24th birthday. That sounds so weird. So I am now entering my mid-20s. I already feel older, and this time I've already pinched a nerve from doing Zumba.
Yeah, what happened the next weekend? What happened to the weekend after your birthday?
Okay, hold on. We'll go through it. So I pinched a nerve 5 days after my birthday. I did Zumba because I was like, oh, I have a little bit more time. I'm going to start exercising. And I've already done this Zumba many times, so I didn't think anything bad would happen to me. But I did the Zumba. That night I went to sleep like normal, and I kept like waking up in the middle of my sleep, like could just feel like I was in pain. And I woke up, and literally my left shoulder was way higher than my right shoulder. I was walking all crooked. I could barely even put any weight like on my back. I couldn't get out of bed. So I had to miss work. I had to go to the doctor, and they prescribed me some medication. And then 2 days later, I had to get surgery.
But this was planned. Yes.
No, I didn't have to randomly get surgery. I had about 50 gallstones, they said, and I'm having symptoms. So I had to get my gallbladder out. So it was a pretty eventful 2 weeks. What about you, Nana? What did your 2 weeks consist of?
Well, not a lot. You visited, and I've been going back into the lab now. So, I guess just getting back to work. I don't think I did not get surgery, and I did not break my neck from Zumba. So
I know, only me. But it was nice. I got a week off of work. I was in pain. I could barely move. I still can't lift anything.
Did you watch Squid Game?
I should have actually paid more attention to it. It was just one of those things that I, like, was kind of on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Often. But I kind of want to rewatch, like, the last few episodes because I kind of got confused. Wait, you haven't finished it?
I only have, like, one or two left.
But, yeah. I know, I was trying to find episodes or just stuff to watch all week because I was bored at home. I was excited to go to work today. But in this episode, obviously, you can tell, we're talking a little bit more about ourselves, but we actually don't have any letters to go over just yet. We are still in the process of getting our next few episodes put together, but we kind of wanted to go over like a little bit about who we are again and just what we have in store for the podcast. So I don't know if you noticed, we are actually kind of redoing episode one. I don't know if you've noticed or if you've tried to watch it, it's gone. We'll just introduce ourselves again. My name is Ariel Bessard. I work right now in Indianapolis for a company that deals with crime in the community. We provide a resource for people who need to report crime in their neighborhoods or just have some inside information and want to report it anonymously to law enforcement. So that is where I'm working right now. I've been there for over a year, probably a year and 3 months. But I started doing this podcast because I interned at Marion County Juvenile Probation, which is where I live. I worked with like serious offenders. I worked with one of the probation officers that dealt with serious offenders, which were nothing less than like a gun charge. So they were doing more of like the violent crimes, sex crimes, stuff like that. So yeah, that's what I did. And then in my internship, I was able to build decent relationships with the kids that were on our caseload, and I got a little bit of an inside look to their home life and the kind of things that they were dealing with at home. And it made me wonder, I bet people who are going down the wrong path or are in prison already probably could possibly have gone through the same thing in their childhood, whether it been like not having any guidance from their parents. Like, for instance, a lot of our kids on our caseload had parents that were in the system since they were juveniles as well. So yeah, it kind of just got me thinking that there's more to them than the choices that they made. So yeah, that is a little bit about me. Nana, do you want to go over yourself again?
Sure. I'm Adriana. I'm Ariel's sister. And I am a graduate student right now, so a little bit different. I am a PhD student studying memory and how sleep helps our memory, how we, you know, remember things for the next day and retain information. And I also am a volunteer, which is somewhat related. I'm a volunteer with an education program at my university for people who are in prison. And it was funny because I always wanted to do that. I thought it was really interesting. Our dad was actually in law enforcement, so maybe that's why we both kind of were interested in that path. But I started volunteering there, writing to students who are in prison, being a tutor. And then Ariel came to me and asked if I wanted to help with this podcast. Actually, a couple of months, I think, after I had already said that I was interested in helping with that volunteer program. So yeah, I guess that's enough about me. That's basically what I do and why I'm interested in this.
So I was thinking, since we completely got rid of our episode one, which was one of my favorite episodes, not the part where we introduce ourselves, but the story, should I just go ahead and read that again? Because I have it pulled up.
Yeah, I think it was a good one. It's one that I always kind of want to go back to and read. But it was a great...
Me too. We were a little bit, I don't know what's the word.
We were new.
Yes, we had no clue what we were doing. And I was like, Nani, you have to take this off. We're doing so much better now. We have to re-record it someday. We just haven't found the time, but that's perfect. We're going to do that today. So, I have pulled up, and I'm going to read it right now. So the letter reads, Dear Ariel, first of all, I want to thank you for taking the time to reach out to me. As you know, I don't hear from too many people. It gets pretty lonely in here, so receiving your letter put a smile on my face. I am more than interested in participating in your podcast. I never thought anyone would be interested in my life story. Majority of the time, I feel like I don't exist anymore after being incarcerated. Everyone I thought I knew slowly and surely started to disappear. I was blessed to grow up with both my parents, and they're currently still together and have been married over 30 years. You can say we grew up comfortable. We grew up in a small two-bedroom home that my grandfather built. Me, my sister, and my parents, just us four, is all we have, so we tend to stick together. Growing up was good. Me and my sister can't really say we went without because we always had food on the table, roof over our heads, and never went without electricity or water. Our parents raised us as perfect as my parents could. They never hit us, and if we got punished, they used their words and not a belt. Throughout my whole childhood, they constantly gave us advice. We were just so young to take it. We were just too young to take it into consideration, or I didn't at least. I was an AB honor roll throughout most of my childhood, and everything was pretty normal till I got to second grade. That's where my life got interesting. My father noticed I was starting to limp and asked me if I was hurt or in pain. I remember telling him nothing was wrong or anything hurt, but he knew something was wrong. After going to hospital after hospital and getting nowhere on why I was limping, one doctor recommended we go to a specialist. We drove 6 hours to get there. Hours later, they came back with two possible reasons why I was limping. One possibility was I had an infection. The other possibility was the word no parent ever wants to hear, cancer. After further testing, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and it was in the early stages, so chances of survival and defeating it were in my favor. I went through treatment and chemotherapy for over 3 years. I was 8 years old at the time of this. It hurt me seeing my mother and sister sleep in the uncomfortable chairs in my room while I went through treatment. My father had to drive back home so he could continue to work so he could provide for us. We got blessed to qualify for a room at the Ronald McDonald House, a house for patients who were going through treatment. Both my mom and sister would stay there while I would be at the hospital. I attended school while I was there too, even though they would just let me pass every class because they thought I was going through a lot at the time. I kind of felt for my sister because she had to leave all her friends in school because of my situation. As much as this affected me, it affected everyone in my family. During my treatment, I went through hell, you can say, from losing my hair to constant pain, through the days in there, losing tons of weight. That whole experience changed my life. I remember constantly asking the nurses at the time for more morphine. I never knew what it was till I got older. I just know that at the time, it made the pain go away and made me go to sleep. And during that time, that's all I wanted to do. I guess you can say that's my first encounter with drugs. I finally defeated and overcame cancer. I remember Make-A-Wish Foundation granted me a wish at the end before they released me from the hospital. When they asked me what I wanted as my wish, I remember telling my mom that it was whatever she wanted. She deserved it. She and my sister stuck right by my side through my whole treatment, and for that, I'm very grateful. The next part was another hardship in my life. When I went back to school after coming back from treatment, I was still without hair, and as soon as I stepped back into class, everyone was looking at me like I was an alien. To remind you, I had no hair, no eyebrows, pale looking. I looked a little funny. I understood that, but for the other kids to pick on me and bully me, that was just too much. I didn't ever want to go back to school. But after a while, I got used to being picked on. I just let it go through one ear and out the other. So I'm going to sum up the next part of the letter. He basically tells us that he started working out because he never got a girlfriend before. So he got more interested in sports and the gym. But with all this, he started to hang out with the wrong crowd and do drugs. He says, I started to get in trouble so people would notice me. By my junior year, I started to get noticed and started to fit in. I won class favorite. I had a senior girlfriend, but at the time, I was getting more addicted to drugs. He goes on to talk about how his sister was the perfect child and set up expectations for him. He said she was valedictorian, and when she set off to college, he got a lot more wild. He started to do a work-study program, which meant he would go to school for half the day, and the other half, he would go to work. He would get high before school throughout his senior year and drink right after work. Since he started to make more money, he would spend his money on drugs. He said at this point, he was what you would call a drug dealer. He was smoking weed, snorting coke, and drinking. He got his girlfriend at the time pregnant and continued to sell drugs because it helped support his family. When this caused problems in their relationship, he got another job and stopped dealing for a while. He realized that this new job was not enough money to support his family. So he went back to school in a city that was over 5 hours from where he previously lived. This also caused a lot of problems in their relationship, so they split up. He then met another girl who seemed to be perfect to him. After a while, he found out that she smoked meth. At first, this didn't bother him, but then he became curious what meth was like. He tried it for the first time, and he says his life took a turn for the worst. He became a meth addict after about a month. He lost 40 pounds, lost his apartment, lost his good job, and lost his girlfriend. He says, "I had turned into an addict. I was living in my car at random parking lots, and I eventually quit school. Everything I ever put into was lost because of meth. That drug ruined my life." He moved back into his parents' house where he was originally from and got a job that paid okay. He was close to his daughter so he could visit her every weekend. Right when his life started to get back on track, he met another girl who used meth and he got back on it. He said that his mother's child moved away to another town when she found out he was on it because she didn't want him around her anymore. He says, "Instead of changing for her and the better, I changed for the worst. I hate to say it, but I gave up on my little girl the day I continued doing meth." He ended up meeting another woman who had 5 kids. He would spend a lot of time with her throughout the week and ended up feeling like a father to her kids. However, they also smoked meth together. This relationship ended up being even worse because he learned of her being unfaithful. While high on meth, he made a decision that would change his life forever. He killed the man that she was having an affair with. He turned himself in because of his guilty conscience. He says he couldn't live with what he did, and once he sobered up, he realized all the pain and suffering he caused to the family of the deceased and to his own family. He says, "In the end, I blame meth and not being able to control my emotions. Growing up, I never had that one friend who was there for me when I needed someone, and as much as I was there for everyone else, no one ever returned the favor to me or even asked if I was okay. I guess in the end, all my anger and emotions were bottled up where I was like a ticking time bomb waiting to explode. And being on meth was just adding to the fuel." So this man was sentenced to 40 years and still has a long way to go. He also says, "I take full responsibility. In being my first time behind bars, it's definitely not what I expected. I miss my family, my daughter, and all the things I took advantage of. All the little things mean so much now."
I think that he went through so much, and a lot of people like to think that they would never, you know, commit a crime. But when you hear the life stories and the things that he went through, it's not an excuse, but definitely shows how that can happen and how we should, you know, maybe think about that again whenever we, you know, try to condemn other people for the decisions that they've made. But he definitely shared a lot, and so I'm glad that we're redoing this episode so that, because he deserves to have his story on here.
I agree. And this guy is, again, we're never excusing his behavior, and I appreciate that he takes full responsibility for what he did. He realizes, like, the pain he caused. But he is one of, like, the nicest guys I've been in contact with since us doing this podcast. And he's written me so many more letters that I will talk about on here. I don't know if I feel like I already have. I've read some of his responses because I've asked him some questions before. And I believe I read his responses on here, like either in like episode 2 or episode 3. But yeah, he seems like he has definitely made a change for the better. And he is also one of the people that mentioned, we didn't mention it in this letter, but he said that if it weren't for prison, he would probably be dead. just continuing to go down the path of drug addiction. But yeah, he has definitely changed for the better. He takes responsibility for his actions, and we always appreciate people like that.
Yeah, people deserve a chance to grow, and I'm not going to say that the prison system and the way it's set up is maybe even necessarily designed to help people make those changes, but I'm glad that he was able to do that in his situation.
So, there was our episode one. I know that we took it off a while ago, and I've actually had people ask me, where's our episode one? And I'm like, oh, we had to take it off because it sounded so bad. But here we go. There's that for you. I think it's one of our best stories because, I mean, he's not what we typically, what I typically have seen. He said that he had a good family. He had siblings that did really well in school. And I believe he said his sister is still doing really well. But he struggled with something that not a lot of people have to, childhood cancer. And I don't know how it would have affected me or anyone else. So, yes, that's all. But like I said in the last episode, we do have some exciting episodes coming up, hopefully. I have been in contact with someone. He has a show on Oxygen. So I've been in contact with his girlfriend. She said she's really interested in being on the show. But that should be really interesting. But until then, you can support us through our social media platforms. We have TikTok, Instagram. Our @ is Pieces from Prison Pod. Please subscribe to us so you can know when our new episodes are being released. You can rate us so we know how we're doing. So that is it for now. Thank you for listening. Bye.